محمد وآل محمد، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. These past nights we've been discussing one of the many concepts that we have in Islam. The reason why we chose this topic was because it is one of those topics today that you hear here and there, that sometimes it is misinterpreted, misunderstood. And when misunderstood, it can be detrimental to one's faith. And that concept was the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Sometimes it reaches a point where people think that this concept has been established in Islam to make up for and to compensate for our lack of action and our sometimes even, God forbid, laziness when it comes to what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed not to do in our lives. So we were talking about that. This love of Ahlul Bayt is a wonderful concept. It can do great things for us in this life and in the hereafter. But to have the maximum benefits from that, we have some conditions for it. These were all discussed before. The three main conditions were mentioned. Condition number one, man ahabbana lillah. That the first thing is that it has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was explained in depth. Number two, you do it without expectations. Because if you do it with expectations, either what you want and what you expected from Allah in return takes place or doesn't. In both cases, it can hurt you. It can hurt your faith. It can hurt the rewards that you're going to get for this love in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Number two. Number three condition, which I said maybe is the most important one, is فَلْيَعْمَلْ بِعَمَلِنَا. These are the words of the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, that they should, and their actions should match our actions. Those who love us, their actions need to match our actions. Tonight, I want to share with you one of those hadiths. And we have a few like this, a number of them like this, where the imams, and especially Imam al-Baqir, the fifth imam, and I want to talk about that a little bit too, that why is it him who is stressing on this, have stressed on the fact that, hey, Shia, lovers of Ahlul Bayt, do not think this is going to do the job for you. There's more to it than just loving. You have to make sure, and they're saying it like a father. Sometimes they'll tell us in a soft and kind tone. Sometimes they'll tell it to us in a harsh tone even, because they care for us. A father isn't always nice to his kid. As a matter of fact, sometimes the kid might turn back and tell his dad, oh, you hate me. Why? Because the father, to make sure that his son does the right thing, sometimes might get a little aggressive. Aggressive, of course, you know, and be more stern so that the child does what they're supposed to do. Why? Because he cares for the future of his child. Others who don't care about the future of the child, sometimes these kids, they have friends. The only reason why they have those friends is because that those friends, they're not living with them 24/7. They're just hanging out once every, I don't know, 2-3 days they see each other. And so when you see somebody on a basis that is that minimal, then when you see that person, that's when they're going to be kind with you. If you really love somebody, 24/7, you're going to be good with them. It's not always the case that if you're with somebody a long period of time, they're going to always be kind, right? So now, sometimes kids will say, oh, my dad is so mean. No, your dad's not mean. You're just with him so long, and he sees the bad things you might sometimes do, and so he might sometimes have a harsher tone. The imams are no exception. If the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that أَنَا وَعَلِيٌّ أَبَوَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, we are the fathers of this ummah. What does that mean? That means sometimes, I mean, if the success and felicity of a mu'min depends on it, we might be a little harsh with them too, to make sure that they take it seriously. We have so many cases like that. In the end, it's all for our sake. Now, this hadith is by Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Now, Imam al-Baqir, the fifth imam, you can say is the turning point, slowly sets the grounds, when you read into history, sets the grounds for the Shia to actually have an identity. Before Imam al-Baqir, the Shia didn't have a theology the way we do today. Yeah, at best it was seen as a political group of people. Yeah, who believed that the first Khalifa should have been Imam Ali. Okay, anything more than that, Shia ideology, theology, you know, things like that, even ahkam and a fiqh and a school of fiqh, we didn't have that until Imam al-Baqir. Now, when Imam al-Baqir comes, once again, he's not doing too much versus Imam al-Sadiq, for example. Imam al-Sadiq is the one who gave us identity. Why do we call ourselves al-Madhab al-Ja'fari? Why? Why do we associate ourselves with Imam al-Sadiq when we have five Imams before him? The reason is because he's the one who got that opportunity, as you all probably know. He's the one who got that opportunity to give an actual identity to the Shia. After him, all these ahadith that he has is what gives us our theology, gives us even our spirituality, gives us our fiqh and all these types of things. Okay? Who was that barrier between Imam al-Sadiq and the previous Imams who didn't get that chance? Imam al-Baqir was setting the grounds for that. Now it's interesting how you will have a whole number of hadiths. In our most credible and reliable book of hadith, the Shia school, what is the name of that book? What is the name of the most important hadith book of the Shia? Can anyone tell me? Al-Kafi. Usul al-Kafi and Furu' al-Kafi. Al-Kafi is the most important hadith book that the Shia have. Okay. Now, in that book, when you have a number of hadiths that are echoing the same theme, you can really conclude that, okay, this is something serious. You will find Imam al-Baqir again and again is talking, the way we're going to read this hadith today, is talking in this fashion. He's worried because he feels like this, okay, we're starting to give an identity to the Shia, and what sets the Shia apart from the rest? Is it the fact that they pray towards the Kaaba? No, everyone prays toward the Kaaba. The fact that they believe in the Quran? Everyone believes in the Quran of the Muslims. What sets them apart is their approach and take on Ahlul Bayt. And so if this is going to be the active ingredient that sets the Shia apart from the rest, we better be careful that this is not misunderstood. One of the aspects of Ahlul Bayt is love of Ahlul Bayt. So you get the feeling from all of this that Imam al-Baqir is the one who keeps addressing this, is that from the get-go, people had this misunderstanding that love is going to do everything for them. I want to share this hadith with you to show that from the get-go, Imam al-Baqir is shooting this understanding down. Now, all of the stuff we covered so far, previous nights and tonight, these are all theoretical still. We still have to get to the practical side of things as well. Well, how can I make sure that I'm going to be the way I'm supposed to be? We'll talk about that. And the ahadith have mentioned a lot. We have a lot to talk about in that regard. And some of the strategies we can have to make sure that we live up to what is expected of us as Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Recite a salawat, please. As you all know, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, he's one of those sahabis of the Holy Prophet who had the blessing of being able to see many imams and the Holy Prophet. He sees the Holy Prophet, he sees Imam Ali, all the way to Imam al-Baqir. I don't think any sahabi lived that long to see Imam al-Baqir, who had also seen the Holy Prophet. Now in this hadith, Imam al-Baqir is speaking to Jabir. And he says, Ya Jabir, ayaktafi man intahala tashayyu'. Is it enough for a person who says, I am Shia? Okay, you're having this wording here, that I am Shia, tashayyu'. This word, as I said, it was starting to get going in those days. Tashayyu', and this identity was being solidified slowly. Right from the beginning, is it enough for a person to say that I am Shia? For him to say I'm Shia, أن يقول بحبنا أهل البيت. A person who says he's Shia to say all I rely on is my love of Ahl al-Bayt. بحبنا أهل البيت. Is that all? Is that going to be enough or not? فوالله, he swears by Allah. Brothers and sisters, you know, we're always saying Walla Walla, right? Walla, we always say Walla, right? The Imam say Walla, it's different. Yeah. One of the Imams, they don't usually swear on Allah's name except if something important is going to be said. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا شِعَتُنَا إِلَّا. So we're going to have a list of things from here on. And what is the number one thing on that list? That's the most important one. مَا شِعَتُنَا إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ وَأَطَاعَهُ. Solid stuff. People don't like the solid stuff. If they tell me, if you want to lose weight and you want to be in shape, you have to, for the next 5 years, 10 years, to the rest of your life, actually, make sure you are counting your carbs and your calories. That's boring, but it's solid work if someone can pull that off. Do that and do your cardio and some of the resistance training that you got to do, just a little bit, but you got to continue it till the grave, right? It is boring as anything, but it is the most solid way of doing anything. Usually the solid stuff is the boring stuff. Anyone heard of wax on, wax off? Huh? Or are you guys too young for that? Back in our day, there was this thing called Karate Kid. I know there's a new version coming out or something. Those of you who know the example I'm giving, this guy was upset. What's wax on, wax off? Teach me the kung fu or the karate and stuff, right? He's like, first you got to build your core. That's boring, but that's what makes you solid. Right from the get-go, the imam says, our Shia are not the ones except who? Ittaqallah wa ata'ahu. Who is wary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're wary of somebody, when you're on the watch, you're careful not to get on somebody's nerves. I don't like to put it that way, right? I don't want to use that wording for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa means to watch out for something. What does that mean? That means you obey them. Think about it. You got a huge guy who tells you, give me that. What are you going to do? You're going to give it to him. That's what taqwa means. He says, stay away from that. You stay away from it. He says, you can do this and you can not do it. Well, you have a choice there. The imam says, our Shia are not anyone except the ones who have taqwa and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right there. Now someone might say, Shaykh, I already know that. How can I obey Allah? We're going to talk about that stuff later. As I said, some strategies, stuff that you guys already know probably. But just a reminder will be good. In the future, we'll talk about those. For now, we want to get the theory down. Because there are people out there who are still struggling to understand what are the main things that the Ahlul Bayt are after when it comes to us and our love towards them? What are the main things Allah wants? The first and foremost is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they make the mistake of thinking, you know what? A wajib here missed, a haram there not observed. One night is not 1,000 nights. As a matter of fact, Allah's watching in that one night to see what you're doing. You know, one night is not 1,000 nights. They'll talk about these things. But then they'll say, you know what? I'll make up for it, Laylatul Qadr. And I'll stay up all night. That's wonderful. That should happen. But Allah's watching here. This is what's going to help you grow. There are some people out there of urafa who made it because of that one time that they were tested and they said, you know what? I'm going to hang in there. You would think that this guy like did a special dua or dhikr or something. All he did was bottled up his anger once. When it really was tough, bottled it up. When it was tough, he stayed away from something he was supposed to stay away from. The normal wajib and haram that come up every day in our lives, for them it was the same thing. What was they doing though? They were making sure that they're obeying 100%. He says, our Shia, this is what our Shia. You cannot be a companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and fight alongside him on Ashura if you're just sinning throughout your life. If I want to pass those big tests in life, I have to make sure these small weights every day. Every day salah, fasting, stay away from this, don't listen to that, don't look at this. All these little things that come up every day for us is what makes us strong enough so that when the bigger tests come, I pass those tests. Some people, they say, I'm not going to worry about the small ones. I'm going to worry about the big ones. You can't pass the big ones if you don't pass the small ones. That's what it's for. Brothers and sisters, I hate to break it to all of us. We are in a gym. In a spiritual gym. That's what we're in. These little weights, Allah, there's a point in putting them in our lives every single day. So then when the time comes for bigger tests, my willpower is strong enough to pass those. It is so wrong to think that you can step on a stage without lifted any weights before and think you're going to lift a heavy weight. It's not going to happen. Anyway, ittaqallahu wa ata'ah. That's all it is. Obedience of Allah. That's all that matters. Not this, not these a'mal, not those a'mal. Those are wonderful, those are supplements. The main thing is how much obedience we have. Are there signs to know if people are like that or not? He says, yes. وَمَا كَانُوا يُعْرَفُونَ يَا جَابِرُ. I'm going to give you a list of things that are signs of such individuals. Number one, he goes down. He says, إِلَّا بِالتَّوَاضُعُ. They're humble people. Nowadays, especially in this social media world we live in, the more noise that's made, the more credentials you probably have. Yeah, the better the posts you have online, the more important you are probably. That's what it's come down to. While a tree that has more fruit, usually what do they say? A tree that has more fruit is usually the one that's bending down more and is more humble. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot, but they don't talk about it so much. At-tawadu. Yeah, sometimes you have to go on social media. You have to spread the message through it. That's another story. But at the end of the day, humility, he says, is number one. Now, someone might say, how do I become humble? Who cares? These are signs of the real deal. The real deal is what? Is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to focus on that. These are just signs that we're going through now. Takhashu', khushu', they have khushu', kind of like humility, let's say. Al-amana. Some hadiths tell us, if you want to test somebody, see how religious they really are. Don't look at how much they're praying or fasting. See how much they take care of what you trust them with. And trusting with somebody, something with somebody doesn't always mean I give you something, take care of it for me. Huh? Sometimes what is said, what I'm sharing with you in a private setting, you don't tell people. That's what it is. That's also part of amana, isn't it? Nowadays it's gotten so hard. You screenshot stuff and you send it out. The world knows. Before you know it, everybody knows. And then you were happy that, okay, my videos at least can't be snapshotted or whatever, screenshotted. But now they have a new feature on the phones. They also can record video. They can screenshot video. SubhanAllah, there's no hiding anymore. This is amana sometimes. And if it's amana, it's not to be shared. This is a sign of a person who has a little bit of fear of Allah in his heart. These are all signs of a person who is Shia. وَكَثْرَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. They remember Allah much. وَالصَّوْمِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Fasting, praying. Do you see anything here saying like dhikr 136 times at this time of the day? I don't see any of that. What is it? It's the basic things again. وَالْبِرْ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ. Guys, brothers, sisters, there are sometimes we go around, like we read about this great arif, that great arif, what did they do and all that kind of stuff. We don't know that the biggest akhlaq lesson is right next to me in the house that I'm in, the place that I'm living. The biggest akhlaq class and lesson, brother and sister, is where? Is at home. Whether it's your mom or your dad or your wife or husband or kids. That is the biggest akhlaq. I don't know why people are looking around for things, like looking for some spiritual stuff. A person who can keep the respect as they're getting older and their parents are getting older. You want a'mal? I'll give you a'mal, your parents. But once again, the solid stuff is the boring stuff. Parents is one of those things, is one of those steps that you can put your foot on and go high with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fly. But we're looking around. What's going on? What's wrong? When you slam the door, when I slam the door, if I get upset, or when I even show my disgust in my face, or when I say something that I'm not supposed to say and do something that I'm not supposed to do. Why? Because I'm upset at my parents? Why? They didn't let me do this, they didn't let me do that. That is it. Brothers and sisters, how do you want Allah to test us? There's only so many things He can use in this world. Before you get married, it's one thing. After you get married, it's another thing. Well, it's the same thing, but now you're married to her or him. And that's the test. As you grow older, you're getting successful in life. Oh my God, all this good stuff happening to me in my life. My career, all that. And then you got to take care of somebody that's much older than you. And those are your parents. This is a test that's there for us from the time we become baligh all the way till we're maybe in our 40s and 50s and 60s. We still have our parents. It's something that Allah is going to use to train us. When people work out, when people lift weights, it hurts. But they're looking at the results. They're thinking about the results. They're telling themselves this pain is going to translate into strength in the future. Well, this is painful. Now, some kids will say, my parents, you know what? They don't make sense to me sometimes. Well, that's what the test is all about, brothers and sisters. Think about it. If they were to make sense to you, then it's not a test anymore. It's not a means of growth anymore. The whole point Allah wants to see is, they're not going to make sense to you. This is super important. They're not going to make sense to you. Fine. That's why when I will see, are you going to still keep their respect because I mentioned them after my name in the Quran, Allah says. Don't do shirk to Allah, the Quran says. Right after that it says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. It didn't say if they're good people or bad people, or if they're making sense or not making sense. Think about it. If mom and dad comes to you today and says, son, daughter, I want you to be on the iPad today for 5 hours, okay? You'll listen to them. Makes sense? Or I don't know, whatever you want to do. You can't come up to me and be like, Sheikh, today I passed one of the biggest tests of God. I listened to my parents. You know, that's not a test. That's not something that's going to really help you grow. It's like saying, yeah, I lifted this 1 pound weight today 50 times. Good for you. It's not going to grow. You're not going to get the growth that you want, really. You're not going to get results. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. That's the whole point, brothers and sisters. Is that when it doesn't make sense, you still keep the respect. Now, you might obey or disobey or all that kind of stuff, but at least keep the respect. Or else before you know it, you've grown up and you're in your 30s, your 40s, and your friends, they're making it, you're not making it. You know why? Parents is no joke. Sometimes it affects our lives in this world. Forget the akhirah. Someone's a loser, a nobody, just because they didn't keep that respect with their parents. But my parents weren't making sense to me. Who cares? That's the whole point. That's where the test comes in. وَالتَّعَاهُدْ لِلْجِيرَانِ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ وَأَهْلِ الْمَسْكَنَةِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَالْأَيْتَامِ. They're kind and take care of and help out all these types of people. The poor of their neighbors, the people who are in debt, أَيْتَام, the orphans, all these people. صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ. Remember I said this a few nights ago too. Some people might not tell the truth. Some صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ means to tell the truth, to be truthful in your speech. Yeah? So there will be some people, they might even not tell the truth for the sake of Islam. Remember, we talked about this a few nights ago. They might not tell the truth sometimes for the sake of a good program. I don't know. This is just an example. I'm not saying it happens. So you are trying to do programs for Islam, to preserve Islam, so people can live up to the teachings of Islam, one of them being to tell the truth. So you're not telling the truth so that others can tell the truth. These are things to keep in mind. Sidq al-Hadith, is it like some magic or some code or something that we would have never figured out? No, these are normal basics. Tilawat al-Qur'an, another one. Remember yesterday I gave this example. A Shia should be known for two things, not one thing. Two things. He's good at Qur'an and he's good at Latmiyyah. Not one or the other. Both. We have Qur'an, we have Ahlul Bayt. Both. Right now it's sometimes you see here and there, you'll see that the Qur'an part we're lacking on. When I say Qur'an, what do I mean? Well, a person has to be familiar with how to recite it, know the meaning of certain things, know some of the stories in there. And as you grow older, as we grow older, we get more and more familiar with the Qur'an. Now here, there's a lot of things I want to talk about that I'm skipping. I'm leaving it for maybe towards the end of this talk or maybe tomorrow night. People might ask, but like all these things, we can't get it all at once. Well, we'll talk about that. We have to have some strategies, brothers and sisters. We have to have some planning. It doesn't happen overnight. But these are the expectations. Tilawat al-Qur'an. Kaffil al-sun anil nas. To hold back the tongue when it comes to others. Talking about others. Once again, unfortunately, the more we congregate, the more Muslims come together here and there, the harder this test will be. Because man, people out there, they got problems. And then we have to deal with them too. And then we have this urge to make sure others know that this person has this flaw. That's another test. Now sometimes, one of our teachers would joke about this. They'd be like, some people, when they want to backbite, they make it first wajib to backbite, and then they backbite. So he gave this example. He said, a person will be like, it's a joke. I hope no one really does this. They'll say, if I don't let others know what this person is doing, I might just die. I can't keep it to myself. And hifdhul nafs is wajib. To protect one from dying is wajib. So I'm going to say it so I can protect my life, because I'm going to die if I don't say it. We'll find justifications to backbite. Yeah? Some people, it reaches that point. Really, you know, you feel like you got to let the world know about this. A person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slowly they reach a point where they could care less about others. That's what it's all about. Brothers and sisters, this ta'atillah and obedience of Allah, if someone continues it long enough, it takes a while. The solid stuff takes a while to work. Once it starts working though, they don't care too much what others are doing. It's not that it's still there's an urge for them to say it. This person slowly gets connected to Allah through obedience of Him. Think about it. You wake up throughout the day, you look back and you're like, all day I haven't disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How awesome is that? That you know that today I have the key to Jannah, at least today. The key to Jannah is to not sin. A person like this slowly cares less what others are doing to have that urge to tell others about the negative flaws of the flaws of people. It's not that we have to, it's going to be obedience of Allah and all these things. No. Obedience of Allah entails these things. That's why the Imam said, these are their signs. If you're getting it right slowly, you get this feeling that, oh, okay, so what? So what if so-and-so did this? Let me take care of myself more. كَفِّ الْأَلْسُنْ عَنِ النَّاسِ إِلَّا مِنْ خَيْرٍ Except in a good way. They speak in a good way about people. وَكَانُوا أُمَنَاءُ عَشَائِرِهِمْ They're the ones that their tribe, now and today we don't have tribes, we got people. People, centers, communities will trust them with everything. When they want to leave things with them. قَالَ جَابِرُ Now this is sad what Jabir says here. Jabir says, فَقُلْتُ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا نَعْرِفُ الْيَوْمَ أَحَدًا بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ We don't know anybody who falls in this category today. Who fits this description that you just gave us of all these things that you listed. Now, this isn't everything, by the way. The Imam is going pretty light right now. What does the Imam say? This is the part that I want us to wake up a little. Because we're getting, as people, you know, and I don't want, this is something open for discussion as well. I feel that as a people, we're in this day and age, we're just getting softer and softer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're trying to find a way to make it in Akhirah, but not have to do the work, kind of, you know? And so you see that a lot on social media too, you know? All these advertisements now, what is the number one thing they say? They say less effort, less time, same results. That's what the selling line is usually, right? And that is just, that applies to every part of our life, apparently, lives today in this day and age we're living, yeah? Now, what do you think the Imam is going to say? Jabir bin Abdullah is living not in the soft age. He's living back then. So if someone comes up to me personally today and says, it's too hard, I don't know anybody who fits this description, I'll try to find a way, you know, to keep everyone happy and stuff like that. Not Imam al-Baqir. He's like, hey, I don't mess around. So what does he say in response? When Jabir says this, he says, I don't know anyone who fits this description. In other words, it seems like it's not possible. He says, Ya Jabir, la tadhabanna bika al-madahib. Says, hey, don't go left and right, man. Don't let things sway you left and right. And in other words, don't talk to me like that. Who cares? I don't care if anyone doesn't fit this description. This is the way to make it. But brothers and sisters, I really want you to think about what we just went through. It wasn't impossible stuff, actually. What was it? Just don't speak ill about others. Take care of your salat, your fasting. You know, what else was it? Help people out. Be truthful. If people leave something with you, take care of it. It's the normal stuff. لَا تَذَمَنَّ بِكَ الْمَذَاهِبِ And then he starts going off now, Imam al-Baqir. حَسْبُ الرَّجُلْ أَن يَقُولْ أُحِبُّ عَلِيًّا We're talking about love, right? He says, is it enough for someone to say, أُحِبُّ عَلِيًّا I love Ali, عليه السلام, وأتولى, I have his wilayah. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونْ مَعَ ذَلِكْ فَعَالًا But then isn't active after he says that? Woo! Woo! We're talking real stuff here. That if you say, I love and I have wilaya, that will equal, that should translate to activism. I'm not talking about political, social activism here. Being active in any way possible. And he gave us a list, right? We're working on theory still. We still have to like talk about planning and strategizing a little bit, inshallah, in the future. But theoretically speaking, this is what's going to get you anywhere. It's going to get us anywhere. He says, you think that's enough? فَلَوْ قَالْ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ If this person who says, I love Ali, and then is not fa'al, even if he says, I love Rasulullah, and Rasulullah is higher than Ali, as we all know. Imam al-Baqir is saying this. Even if you say, I love Rasulullah, ثم لا يتبع سيرته ولا يعمل بسنته ما نفعه حبه إياه شيئا. And if this person says, I love Rasulullah, but does not follow his sunnah, his example, his teachings, ما نفعه حبه شيئا, that this love is not going to help him at all. Alright? I know we're all, I mean, I don't know about you guys, I'm a softie. This stuff really hits me here. But it's reality. When you watch these bodybuilding motivational videos, man, those huge guys, what are they all saying? They're saying, I was different than the rest because I just did the work. That's what it is. No, teach me a way where I can just relax and chill, but still look like you. It's not going to happen. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعْمَلُوا لِمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. So have taqwa, he repeats it. He's like, I'm not going to retreat just because you say no one fits that description. اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And work for that which Allah has ready for you. Work for it. لَيْسَ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ قَرَابًا. There is no relationship. No one's related to Allah. So Allah says on the Day of Judgment, you know what? You my cuz. You my cousin. You're good to go. It's not, he says, Allah's not related to anybody. Well, you're Ahlul Bayt though. You're different, right? He makes that clear too. Later on, he makes that clear too. أَحَبُّ الْعِبَادِ. The most loved, beloved in Allah's eyes are the ones who have more taqwa, who obey him more, who act more, أَعْمَلُهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ, who act more and live up to what his commands are. That's all. Ya Jabir. No one gets close to Allah except through ta'ah. He keeps repeating it. Different wording, he keeps repeating the same thing. No one can get close to Allah except through obeying him. Well, you're different though, Ahlul Bayt, right? You guys got it good. Free pass to Jannah. That's something to talk about, by the way. Is that really true? That if you're ma'soom and infallible, you have a free pass to Jannah. Right here, the Imam kind of refutes that too. He says, مَا مَعَنَا بَرَاءَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. Us Ahlul Bayt also, we don't have a free pass either. We better live up to what we got to live up to. Or else we're not going to make it either. There is no relationship between Allah and us as if. We all know Ahlul Bayt are chosen. We all know that Allah has blessed them with things that he has not blessed us with, and has tested us to see if we follow them or we're going to be jealous of them. Yeah, we all know that. But in the end, the Imam makes it clear that look, if anything's going to work for us even, it's us and our actions. وَلَا عَلَى اللَّهِ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ حُجَّ مَنْ كَانْ. No one has anything, no argument against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the Day of Judgment, you can't say, oh, you know, I was in the 21st century, you know, we were the soft generation. No, none of that. مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ. He puts this line there to end it all and puts the nail in the coffin. مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مُطِيعًا فَهُوَ لَنَا وَلِي. If you are obedient to Allah, you are one of our walis and one of our awliya, one of our close ones, one of our friends. Ahlul Bayt. But no, I love you. And if I love you, I'm your friend, right? He says, وَمَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ عَاصِيًا فَهُوَ لَنَا عَدُو. Whoever disobeys Allah, he's our enemy. He didn't say a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still and doesn't love us either, is an enemy of us. He didn't say that. This is the scary part. This is the part I was talking about when I said last night it's kind of like a mean hadith. That whoever doesn't obey Allah and does isyan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's our adu. Who's the first person who disobeyed Allah? Shaytan. He's an enemy of Allah, right? If our actions are matching Shaytan's actions, brothers and sisters, then that's what it is. فَلْيَعْمَلْ بِعَمَلِنَا. Their actions should match our actions. That is the measuring stick to see how much this love is going to be helping us. Now once again, I'm going to go back to those hadiths that we had in the beginning of our series, where yes, love on its own even if you disobey Allah, we had hadith that will inshallah help you as well. We're talking about real help here. I don't want to be worried for my akhirah. I want to make sure I've taken care of it before I go on the other side. Even the chance of me not making it is horrible. I don't want that. And the only way to ascertain and guarantee that is if I reach a point, inshallah, that I am obedient of him. وَمَا تُنَالُ وِلَايَتُنَا إِلَّا بِالْعَمَلِ وَالْوَرَى. Our wilayah. You know, we're all sitting here. I sit here today. I say, لَبَّيْكَ يَا حُسَيْنَ. Right? I have your wilayah. لَبَّيْكَ. But He says, if you really want it, if you're really saying it, I have to see that you have amal next to it. He says, our wilaya cannot be reached except through al-amal, action, and wara. Wara means extra cautious, extra caution to make sure that we're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some questions that will come up here now. Our youth might say it's too hard. It might even not be possible. It's too much. I want to talk about these tomorrow night a little bit. Is it really? What can we do? If it is hard, can we plan for it? Can we like kind of strategize for it a little bit? Some pointers here and there that you already know, just to remind all of us that it is possible, inshallah ta'ala. Risala salawat. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alayka ya Safir al-Husayn, ya Muslim ibn Aqil. There's this hadith that says, it was interesting, I came across it today actually, where Imam Ali speaks to the Holy Prophet, and he tells the Holy Prophet, oh Prophet, you love Aqil. It seems you really love Aqil, the father of Muslim Aqil. He says, yes, I love him. لَأُحِبُّهُ حُبَّيْنَ, two loves. Why? One, because I love him, and two, because of the hub and love that Abu Talib had towards him, Aqil. But then he goes on, he says, وَإِنَّ وَلَدَهُ لَمَقْتُولٌ فِي مَحَبَّةِ وَلَدِكَ, that his son Muslim will die out of love for your son Ali, Hussein. فَتَدْمَعُ عَلَيْهِ عُيُونُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the eyes of the believers will shed tears over him. This is in Amali of As-Saduq, the book of Al-Amali. وَتُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels will send their salawats upon him. And the Prophet, it says he wept over Muslim ibn Aqil when he said all of this. Muslim ibn Aqil, brothers and sisters, what befell him is a mini Ashura. Almost everything you find in Ashura that happened to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, it happened to Muslim ibn Aqil as well. At a smaller scale, of course, we cannot compare the two at all. And Muslim al-Aqil wouldn't want us to compare that. But the reality is that a lot happened to him. Number one, one of the greatest musibahs for him is that on Ashura, when people would fall, when these companions would fall one after another, who was there next to their body? Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Make sure that they have an easy death, inshallah. Muslim al-Aqil didn't have that. Far, far away from his master. He loves his master. The hadith said he died out of love of his master. Far, far away, in between all of the enemies. Just like Abu Abdullah, who had no one to help him and he was in the middle of all the enemy. And so, at first they had promised these Kufans that they're going to support Abu Abdullah Hussein. They're praying behind Muslim al-Aqil. He's the representative of Abu Abdullah. It slowly reached the point after Ibn Ziyad made his way into Kufa that people started deserting him, deserting Muslim, to the point that you've all heard. That one night when he's praying, he looks behind him, he sees nobody's left behind him. He's all alone now. And his cover is finally blown. He goes into hiding, but his cover is blown. And that's a story itself. And so they come after him to take him in, and a fight in the streets breaks out. And there are swords coming down on him, and he's defending himself, fighting back. But this is one person, brothers and sisters. One report says he killed 41 people. Before he's a person, he's going to run out of energy. So he runs out of energy and he's cornered and he's thirsty, just like his master Abu Abdullah was thirsty on Ashura. But there's no comparison again. And so as he's thirsty, he needs water. They say that a container of water that he takes to drink out of, blood is falling from his mouth into this water. He can't. He refills it. Again, it's filled with blood. And he can't drink from this water. And they say his teeth eventually fall out. Muslim al-Aqil, they tell him, we're going to keep you safe. Just submit to us, we'll take you to Ubaidullah, but we promise nothing's going to happen to you. They take him to Ubaidullah. Ubaidullah says, get out of here, I'll do whatever I want. And so he orders that they execute him. They say Muslim in those final moments was crying and weeping. And so Ubaidullah tells him, yes, if you come and try to take over, then you have to be ready for this too. If you fail, you're going to die. He says, I'm not crying for myself. Who am I crying for? I'm crying for Abu Abdullah, that I know he has a caravan of women and children that he's bringing to Kufa, and this is what you're doing to his representative. What are you going to do to him? They take him to the top of the palace, and he has to stretch his neck out and he's doing dhikr of Allah and remembering Allah, and they say the person with the sword is one of those who he had injured in the street fight. They tell him to behead Musa ibn Aqil. He strikes the head, the neck once, but the head doesn't separate completely. La hawla wa la quwwa. They strike it again until his head comes off. They throw that body from on top of the palace, and they drag his body along with Hani bin Urwa's body in the city. They hang the bodies upside down. They say, think about it, brothers and sisters. The body of Muslim upside down, his arms hanging, the neck without a head. This blood is just dripping, this pure blood of Muslim Aqil. When the news reaches Imam Hussein, they say Imam Hussein goes to the daughter of Muslim and starts stroking her head. He tells her, I'll be your father. She says, what are you dealing? Why are you dealing with me like this? Have I lost my father? Have I been orphaned? He says, yes, you've lost your father. And they say she screams. Imam Hussein is teaching a lesson. If a child is orphaned, this is how you deal with them. Just like yesterday, how he taught the people that if people are thirsty, you give them water. You give their animals water. Here he says, this is how you deal with a child that has been orphaned. But let's go to Ashura on that day. If Muslim went through all of this suffering, I just want to speak to Muslim ibn Aqil right now. Oh Muslim, if you went through all of that, Imam Hussein in those final moments, they say he was so thirsty. As things blacken in his eyes and he's asking for water, some would scream to him and tell him, you won't have water until you drink from that water of hellfire. Oh Muslim, if your teeth fell out, there was a time that Abu Abdullah's head is in front of Ubaidullah and he's poking at the teeth of Hussein with his stick. Muslim Aqil, if you were alone, Hussein was alone. If your head wasn't severed with the first blow, they say Abu Abdullah, it took 11 blows for his head to be severed. Ya Hussein, they say that he had to tear Imam Hussein's head off. If you were dragged, his body was trampled by the horses. The chest was crushed, they say. But your daughter was dealt with properly. On Ashura, when these children were orphaned and they're running around on the sands of Karbala, they have to cover their ears because it is very easy to snatch earrings from the ears of children. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين